What's good, everyone? Welcome to the Power Up Podcast. I am your host, Sir Snorlax, but you can just call me Dennis. And this is episode number 14. I ran out as long as I could. I got to the point I wanted to, and I've run out of our gimmick. Maybe I'll think of something later on, but we got a lot to talk about today. One of the things we're going to talk about is going to be game release schedule for the rest of the year, 2025, and some games that, you know, stand out to me that are coming out this year or scheduled to come out this year, but also my personal most anticipated games of 2025, for the rest of 2025, that is. But first, as always, we have to get into the shout-out to the Southwest Florida FGC. And as always, let's start out with Tekken for Southwest Florida FGC Weekly number 143. Tied in seventh place, Zoe Valentine and your boy, Sir Snorlax. Tied up in fifth place, we have Spiker and Savage Mella. In fourth place, we have TV Tengu rocking the Eddie for this tournament. Hey, if it works, it works, right? We're moving away from the Pandas and the Kumas of the world to Eddie. Then we've got, in third place, Flameo. And in second place, we have Crispy Crisps. And in first place, Kazibara with the Law. Couldn't stick with Lee, could we? I'm just saying. Lee. Moving on to our Street Fighter VI tournament for the week. Tied in seventh place, Spiker and La Cabra. Tied in fifth place, Waffles and Room. In fourth place, the returning Sin. In third place, Cruisin'. In second place, Mr. Worldwide. And in first place, Foz. And this week, we had special third bracket. For the month of August, we have been doing a Voters' Choice Month. And this week's winner was Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2. And our standings are as follows. In seventh place, we had TV Tengu, along with Flameo. Tied up in fifth place, we had Foz and Waffles. In fourth place, we had Spiker. In third place, we had the returning Toxic. In second place, we had Dizzy KOF. And in first place, Zoe Valentine. Congratulations to all of the participants. It's awesome that everyone is so hype on Exart, considering Strive hasn't been doing very well. And, you know, our next game this coming up week is going to be Dragon Ball FighterZ. We got a couple of more surprises coming at the end of the month for the Southwest Florida FGC. But let's get into our brackets, our league for the Southwest Florida FGC, starting out with our Street Fighter VI League. In 20th place, we have La Cabra with 7 points. In 19th place, we have Fighting Focus with 8 points. In 18th place, we have Scourge with 11 points. In 17th place is your boy, Sir Snorlax, with 11 points. In 16th place, we have Waffles with 12 points. In 15th place, we have Rich Dan with 13 points. And in 14th place, we have Rich Demi with 15 points. In 13th place, we have Big Boss Brandon with 24 points. In 12th place, we have Cruisin' with 26 points. In 11th place, we have Walt Coyote with 35 points. In 10th place, hanging on to that start of the year league point value of 40 points, Lexatron 3000. In 9th place, we have Makira with 42 points. In 8th place, we have Casual Sam with 51 points. In 7th place, we have Blue Icy Dasani with 55 points. In 6th place, we have Noodle with 60 points. In 5th place, we have Spiker with 80 points. And in 4th place, Mr. Worldwide with 86 points. In 3rd place, we have Harold with 90 points. In 2nd place, we have Professor Peanut with 93 points. And in 1st place, with a total of 116 points, Foz. Moving into our Tekken 8 league. In 20th place, we have Dr. Killed by Death in 20th place with 2 points. In 19th place, we have Rich Demi with 2 points. In 18th place, we have Frank Gains XP with 3 points. 17th place, we have Fighting Focus with 3 points. In 16th place, we have RT with 3 points. In 15th place, we have Dizzy KOF with 4 points. In 14th place, we have Lost Hero with 4 points. In 13th place, we have Mr. Worldwide with 5 points. In 12th place, we have Foz with 9 points. In 11th place is your boy, Sir Snorlax, with 12 points. In 10th place, we have McLover with 15 points. In 9th place, we have Zoe Valentine with 18 points. In 8th place, we have TV Tengu with 18 points. In 7th place, we have Savage Mella with 37 points. In 6th place, we have Spiker with 49 points. In 5th place, we have Kazibara with 73 points. In 4th place, we have Samurai Soda with 109 points. And rounding up our top three, this one's a close one. Specifically in the places 1 and 2. But in 3rd place, we have Flameo with 169 points. In 2nd place, moving down, Mary Chango with 200 points. But in 1st place, with two more points than Mary Chango, Crispy Crisps with 202 points. Now, the league is rapidly coming to a close. We'll be ending in October. We have one more big event that'll provide big points for both games, and that is Southwest Showdown Fall Brawl 2025. And we're going to be having a lot of fun with that, and I think that's really going to edge out the final standings on the league and who's going to take the top three spot for the year of 2025. So keep an eye out. And, you know, if you're here locally, join the FGC, join your local. We have an amazing group of people, and I just want to say a huge thank you to our community. As we continue to grow, we're like a little family, and it's amazing seeing not just the progression of everyone, you know, from the beginning, you know, 3 years ago to now, but just the camaraderie, the friendships and relationships that have been built in this FGC is just quite amazing. And I can't thank the community enough. It's what we're here for. It's just to bring those together that love fighting games. And we have that here in an area that, you know, isn't the most populated area. You know, we have a great community, and it's, and I just want to say thank you to all of those that have helped build this community, and make it what it is today. With that, we're going to get into EVO 2025. We had a lot of things come out of EVO, reveals wise, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but I want to go over some of the results that came out of EVO. We had, specifically, I want to talk about Tekken and Street Fighter. So in Tekken 8, we had in our top 8, tying in 7th place, was MIUIL with Jack 8 and JDCR with Dragunov. Tied up in 5th place, we had Lohi and Nobi. Lohi using Brian and Nobi using Lars, Steve, and Dragunov. 4th place, we had Molgold with Claudio and Feng. Chikorin with Clive and Lily in 3rd place. 2nd place, the individual everyone thought was going to take this tournament, Atif. And in 1st place, once again, your EVO champion for Tekken, Arslan Ash. There was a mirror, an anime mirror that took place in that final between Arslan Ash and Atif, and it was pretty awesome. Moving into the Street Fighter VI top 8, I want to highlight a few things in this top 8. We'll go through the list, and then I'll talk about it a little more in depth. But in tied up in 7th place, we have Leshar and Angry Bird. Leshar using Terry, Ed, and Mai, and Angry Bird using Akuma. In 5th place, we have Xiaohai with Mai and Bison, and Fudo with Ed and DJ. In 4th place, Phenom with Cammy. In 3rd place, Mickey with Cammy and Mai. In 2nd place, Kakeru with JP. And in 1st place, your EVO 2025 champion for Street Fighter VI, Mena RD. Mena RD winning back-to-back EVO Japans for Street Fighter. And now winning EVO Las Vegas. And it was, the top 8 was amazing. I would say, for me, the highlight of EVO was that top 8. Not to say that Tekken 8 wasn't hype, but there was a lot of stories there when it came to the EVO top 8 for Street Fighter VI. And before I get to Mena, I want to talk about Mickey. Mickey came in, and it was incredible, the run that Mickey had. I believe this was Mickey's first offline tournament. And it's, you know, young kid coming in to a top 8 of Street Fighter VI, beating Angry Bird 3-0. Now, Mickey was doing a loser's run, coming into loser's round 1 of top 8, beating Angry Bird 3-0. Moving on to loser's quarterfinal, beating Fudo 3-2. Moving on to loser's semifinal, beating Phenom 3-2. Getting knocked out in loser's final against Kakeru 3-1. And it was still an amazing matchup, all of them. And Mickey came out impressed, and I really, I look forward to following Mickey in the Street Fighter VI realm, because, you know, at such a young age to be, you know, hitting a top eight of Evo with the names in this top eight. I mean, Kakeru, Fudo, Mena, Phenom, Xiaohai, Leshar, Angry Bird. I mean, these are amazing competitors. And Mickey came in, did his thing, and really impressed a lot of people. I feel, in my opinion, definitely impressed me. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Mickey does from here. Moving into our champion, Mena RD. I'm just going to say it right now. To me, one of the Street Fighter GOATs. And I think this tournament proved it. We went into Mena versus Phenom in our winner semifinals. Mena won 3-1. And in our winner's final, it was Kakeru and Mena. Mena took that 3-0. And then we came into grand finals, and Mena took it again, 3-0. And I will say this, the winner's final match and the grand final match, while Mena was dominant in both, the grand finals, it was just, I felt, you could see Mena make the adjustments necessary to continue the path that he was on. Fighting Kakeru, you saw the first match, you know, the matches were a little closer, but once we went into that grand final, my God, just ran through, did the thing, won the championship, and it was such a hype top eight. It was, the grand final was amazing to watch, just Mena doing what Mena does. And congratulations to Mena RD. And I say this with all the bias in the world, I am a fan of Mena, and I love how humble he is in these victories, and just the emotion of these victories. We've seen it at Evo Japan twice, and now Evo 2025. It was just something that was, in my opinion, bound to happen. At one point or another, he had to win that Evo 2025 championship. And we'll see how Mena progresses from here and through the next few tournaments. Now, moving into our reveals. We had quite a few reveals when it came to Evo, and I want to get into that right now. One of the first things that came out, we knew Ken was coming to Fatal Fury. We didn't know when, and we found out during Evo. So let's take a look at that.
Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves.
We have to give you the credits. So, this revealed that Ken was releasing that evening after Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves top eight, about 3 to 4 hours after the top eight, Ken was released. I have not gotten a chance to try Ken. That is my next appointment, if you will, because I do want to try out Ken. Right now I'm Andy. I'm playing Andy, but Ken might make me switch. The next reveal we knew, once again, another character we knew was coming, but we got a release date on, and that was for Guilty Gear Strive, Season Pass 4's Lucy, guest character from Cyberpunk Edgerunner. So let's take a look at that. I'm afraid that I'm going to get stripped. Mankind needs them. But we're going to keep rolling. CD Projekt Red. Choose.
This is some seriously odd shit. Encrypted, huh? Like that's gonna stop me. Memory's fuzzy, fragged, as if corrupted somehow. Makes no sense. Need to run manual diagnostics, file out of time if I gotta. And hacking a Ganic person, no chrome? Yeah, that happened. On my side, was deep in the
all these net. Songs are sad. Coming to the game.
Looking for something, I suppose. Yes, I got sloppy. Or I got popped by a rogue AI. Either way, not my finest hour. It was so close. Just out of reach. Why is my heart pounding? Who is he? Someone I care for? I'm lost? Forgot? What if I let it happen all over again? I need to find him.
Right. August 21, 2025. And I don't know if it shows up here. It might not. No, it doesn't. Let's not do that. We're also getting an update in the future for Guilty Gear, called Guilty Gear Strive 2.0, and there's going to be some changes. I'm excited for Lucy. I'm going to try Lucy. Currently, Strive has been not doing so great, especially in our local, but maybe this will be the kickstart. I know I'm going to try Lucy because I am a Cyberpunk fanatic. I love Edgerunners. And I was curious to see Lucy gameplay, to see how she played, to see if I would try it. I have the season pass. I'm going to try it because she looks awesome. The hacking looks amazing. To add that into the game was pretty awesome. So moving into the next trailer from Evo, Armor King. We got an Armor King gameplay trailer and a surprise at the end again. So let's take a look at Armor King.
Now, let the world hear it! Shout his name! Thirsting for revenge, the jet-black villain returns to the ring!
You hit a chance!
For the next battle.
Oh yeah.
Section 8. New challenger. Armor King.
Oh yeah. Ooh, the low, going low. The stomps. Nice backflip. Damn, the carry. Nice duck.
show you just how scary boxing can be.
Oh, yeah? Ooh, ooh. Ooh, we got the mist. We got the poison mist. Nice. Okay. Poison mist again. Three headbutt. He's going headbutt. Nice with the chop in against the wall. That's sick. Ooh, the reverse DDT. The flipping reverse. Shining wizard into the wall. Nice drop kick. Oh, we got a scissors kick too. Ooh, the fire. Fire fist. That's sick. Oh, that powerbomb was sick. Ooh. Here we go. Here we go. No one will stand in the way of my revenge. We got King versus Armor King. I will put a stop to you no matter what it takes. Here we go. Nice, nice throw break. Ooh, nice. Ooh, with the stunner! Hit him with the stunner! Oh, he backflipped off the wall! Stomps. Nice clothesline. Ooh, nice. Ooh, the burning hammer for the rage. Putting them through the table. All right, we got a little surprise. Early access October 13th. Official release October 16th. So we got a ways to go. I like the costumes. I'm digging the costumes. All right. Final stage and character of this season past. Madagascar. Miarizo from Madagascar. The red eyes. There's been a lot of discussion. And then Baobab Horizon is the stage that we'll be getting for this season pass that will come with Miarizo. And I'm going to tell you. I'm excited for Armor King. I'm going to try it. Armor King has always been more of the more offensive, punches and kicks type of wrestler, the brawler, striker, if you will, as opposed to the grapplers like King. So I'm definitely going to try out Armor King. I tried Fakuram, and I just wasn't able to really flow with it as I wanted it to. But coming from Lars to someone that's slower as Fakuram was probably part of the challenge. So, but Miarizo, I hope I'm saying that correctly. From the initial release of the trailer to now, I know that there have already been some tweaks to the facial structure I'm not sure if you could tell on this one or not, because there were some critiques about her facial structure from the first initial reveal at Evo, and so that has been talked about by Harada. There's talk about her story and the lore of it all, and a lot of theories are talking about her eyes and how there might be a connection to Ogre. So that's a very interesting theory that would be pretty awesome. But we'll see what happens when we finally get a release date on this brand new character to Tekken 8. Moving on, before we get to we have one more trailer before we get to our last trailer. So we got two more trailers. This is just a title update for Capcom Fighting Collection 2. So let's get into that. I was not expecting this at all. But it makes sense, considering our season pass for Street Fighter 6. Title update coming soon for Street Fighter Alpha 3 Upper. So Ingrid is coming to Street Fighter Alpha 3 Upper, along with Eagle, Yun, and Maki, who were all playable, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the PSP version of Alpha 3 Upper. Well, one of the portable versions. I might be wrong on that. So, different settings. Plasma Sword is getting combo roots being displayed, so that's pretty cool. Some additional tracks. There's going to be some new artwork coming. Capcom Fighting Collection number 2. So that is pretty fun. This is pretty cool. I was not expecting that at all, honestly. So to our last trailer. Now, this is technically two separate trailers, but it was one big announcement before the top 8 for Street Fighter 6. And I've got to say, someone pulled the trigger a little too early on PlayStation and released the teaser for C Viper early, before the top 8 had even started. So let's check that out. Siren. Bison.
That's the leader of the organization known as Shadaloo. His name is Bison. This is simulation data based on his battle prowess. But as a research director, I'll have to test what this thing is capable of. Out of all the data obtained by Siren, this one's the most
Siren, dangerous. Sorry, Siren, I said Siren.
We should be able to fight against it. Let's boot it up.
Don't do it.
Begin.
Don't
test.
Do it. Oof. Oh, and he said, I'm taking you out too. Oh, there goes her tablet. She ain't gonna be happy about that. Stomp. Oof. Folding that boy. Oh.
Nice work.
The shock to the head, stopping the simulation. Autumn 2025 for C Viper. Oh wait, there's more. Sorry, I changed that before I should have.
Ugh. I hate doing overtime.
Yeah, well, we all do, don't we? The other reveal was that Outfit 4 showcase. This did not leak, although we had already seen what they were going to look like in concept art. That's an interesting outfit. Another mission awaits. Do you plan to fight us all? Talk of the choir. I'll show you the power of my company. Now you understand. Don't underestimate you. Are you ready yet? It's go time. Good night. One of a kind. That released with the release of Sagat, which released on the day after Evo. And I'm going to tell you, I've been trying out Sagat, and I've been having fun with Sagat. Sagat, he's got range, target combos galore. We got the Tiger Shot. The Tiger Shot is so fast that you can't get into a fireball fight with him. Probably as Sagat you can, but other than that, I have not seen Ryu be able to do a fireball fight against Sagat yet. One thing that's tripping me up, and this is, I'm going to show my age right now. Low Tiger Shot, the Crouching Tiger Shot, and the Standing Tiger Shot. His Crouching Tiger Shot is DP with low punch. In the past, for like almost every Street Fighter that I've played, it's always been a kick, a DP kick. Quarter circle punch and quarter circle kick have been your standing and crouching. But in this, it's low punch, quarter circle forward punch. Low punch is the low, and then mid and high are your standings. And I always go for that low with the kick, and it just trips me up. So I'm still muscle memory, right? Like I said, I'm showing my age. Moving into the next topic, we're going to talk a little news. We had a Nintendo Indie World Showcase on August 7th, and I'm just going to run down a few of the games that were announced. Mina the Hollower is coming to the Switch, along with UFO 50, Well Dweller, Neverway, Hurdling, is this seat taken? Little Kitty Big City, Content Warning, Ball Cross Pit, Ultimate Sheep Raccoon, Glaciered, Winter Burrow, Undusted, Letters from the Past, Tiny Bookshop, Caves of Quid, Strange Antiquities, Opus Prism Break, Prism Peak, and Go-Go Town. The one that really stood out to me was Mina the Hollower, and we'll talk about that a little later. Moving on to our next story, we had Harada talking about Tekken Cross Street Fighter. This writer comes from Chris Scullion. Tekken boss Harada says he'd like to show people the 30% complete Tekken Cross Street Fighter one day. Their game was originally announced 15 years ago. The crossover fighting game was announced 15 years ago at the 2010 San Diego Comic-Con alongside a second crossover fighting game called Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which did release. The idea was that Street Fighter Cross Tekken would be developed by Capcom and would play like a Street Fighter game, while Tekken Cross Street Fighter would be developed by Bandai Namco and would be play like a Tekken game. While Street Fighter Cross Tekken was released by Capcom in 2012, Tekken Cross Street Fighter has yet to see the light of day, with Harada saying back in 2016 that development was on hold. In a new interview with Destructoid, Harada was asked about the game's status again and noted that he would like to be able to show fans how far the game got. It's hard to say if that's even a thing, he said via a translator. I mean, it depends on what people are wanting as well. That said, I would like to show people what we already have. That would be cool if we could do that. We were 30% into development. So fingers crossed. Harada discussed Tekken Cross Street Fighter in an interview video in 2021 where the official subtitles appeared to suggest that he said the project died. But Harada later clarified the situation, saying the subtitles had been mistranslated and should have said paused or pending state, rather than suggesting it had stopped entirely. We are still hopeful that Tekken Cross Street Fighter will resume development when this opportunity arises, Harada explained at the time. However, such a title cannot be moved just for the convenience of one company in terms of marketing and branding, and it also affects each other's development resources. For now, we're just waiting for the right opportunity. Now, we did see a little bit of Tekken, a little bit of Street Fighter in Tekken when Tekken 7 had Akuma incorporated not only into the game as a guest character, but as part of the game's lore that doesn't get addressed in Tekken 8. So, there's that. Moving on to our next story. Guitar Hero veterans form rhythm game development studio Red Octane Games. This write-up comes from Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Veterans of the rhythm game genre have established a new development studio called Red Octane Games. According to today's announcement, the small studio plays home to creators and developers who helped create and scale Guitar Hero and DJ Hero nearly two decades ago. Oh, my spleen. That hurt. Two decades ago. Ouch. As well as proven emerging development talent and community leaders from across today's rhythm gaming space. Red Octane is currently developing a range of rhythm-based experiences with its first title scheduled to be revealed later this year. It describes itself as a company within Embracer's group Free Mode, which offers support and guidance to independently operated businesses. The studio is headed up by Simon Ebinger. As we all know, famously, I'm not good with names, who was production director on several Guitar Hero titles at Neversoft, later served as studio head at Vicarious Visions and VP of operations at Blizzard. Red Octane was the publisher of the original Guitar Hero and the PS2 version of Guitar Hero 2 before becoming an Activision subsidiary when the Call of Duty maker acquired the franchise for $100 million. Activision closed Red Octane, which is co-founded by Kai Huang and Charles Huang, in 2021. The Huang brothers are to join a special advisory board for the new Red Octane. Rhythm games are about more than just gameplay. They're about feel, flow, and connection to the music and to each other, said studio head Ebinger. Red Octane Games is our way of giving back to a genre that means so much to us while pushing it forward in new, exciting directions. I would like to see Guitar Hero come back. I enjoyed those games. So, that'd be cool. Moving on to our next story. Weapons Director's Resident Evil movie won't have existing characters because fans can play the games for their stories. This write-up comes from Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. The director of the Resident Evil movie reboot says it won't feature characters from the games because their stories have already been told. Earlier this year, it was confirmed that Zach Cregger, the writer-director behind the critically acclaimed horror movie Barbarian and the recently released Weapons, will be writing and directing a new Resident Evil movie, which will reboot the film series. Again. With Barbarian and Weapons achieving Rotten Tomatoes scores of 92 and 95, respectively, fans are excited about the prospect of Cregger directing a Resident Evil movie and the hope that it could result in similar critical praise. In an interview with Inverse, Cregger has now explained that his film won't retell the stories from the games, but will instead feature new characters and tell a new story in the same universe. McGregor explained that because he's a fan of the Resident Evil games, he doesn't feel there's any need to retell their stories because in his eyes, they've already been told well enough. Let me say this. This is not breaking the rules of the games, Krieger said, insisting that the new movie will still respect Resident Evil lore. I am the biggest worshiper of the games, so I'm telling a story that is a love letter to the games and follows the rules of the games. It is obedient to the lore of the games. It's just a different story. I'm not going to tell Leon's story because Leon's story is in the games. Fans already have that. Krieger says that if any players were hoping to see characters like Leon, Jill, Chris, or Claire appear in this movie, they can play the game to see their stories. Okay, dude, we get it. Constantine Films, which has held the screen rights for Resident Evil since 1990s, will reportedly produce the reboot along with PlayStation Productions, a studio formed in 2019 by Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt its original game properties for film and television in partnership with Sony Pictures. Sony has yet to release set a release date of September 18, 2026 for the movie. The film is the second attempt to reboot the Resident Evil movie series with 2021 film Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which is based on the first two games, earning a Rotten Tomato score of 30%. If you make this like an outbreak, you know, it's within the same realm, it's within the same feel of what Resident Evil was, but it wasn't that main story. It was just like, you're trying to escape Raccoon City. And it tells a story of new characters. That, I'm down for. But it's still within the realm of the story. As we know, the original Resident Evil film was supposed to be something else, and then it turned into a Resident Evil movie. This is going to follow the lore of the movie, and it is going to be a Resident Evil movie. Moving on to our next few stories here. Battlefield 6 Studio says it prevented 330,000 cheating attempts during its 2 days of open beta early access. Now, this write-up comes from Chris Scully and again from Video Games Chronicle. Battlefield 6 anti-cheating software prevented 330,000 attempts at cheating during the open beta's early access period, according to the developer. The game's open beta was available early on early access August 7th to the 8th before opening up to everyone 9th through the 10th of August. I unfortunately did not get to get in on that. In a post of EA's official Battlefield 6 forum, a member of the game's Spear anti-cheat team, referring to themselves simply as AC, gave players an update on some of its anti-cheating statistics from the early access period. On top of this, players reported a further 44 instances of potential cheaters on August 7th, with at least a further of 60,000 on August 8th. So I think the beta did what it needed to do. I heard a lot of good things about Battlefield 6, so it's going to be on the crosshairs. Moving on to our next story, Microsoft has stopped development on Avalanche Studios' Contraband. This write-up is also from Chris Scullion on Video Games Chronicle. The Just Cause developer's latest game was announced 4 years ago, and nothing has been seen since. Microsoft has stopped development on Contraband. Steven Totillo at GameFile had a newsletter initially reported that the game, which had been in development at Avalanche Studios, has ceased active development. This has now been confirmed by Avalanche, which has posted a statement stating that active development has now stopped on the game. Avalanche is best known for the studio behind the Just Cause series, and Contraband was set to offer a co-op open-world game set in the 1970s. Although the game was originally announced with a cinematic trailer during the E3 2021, nothing has been seen in the 4 years since that initial reveal. GameFile says Microsoft declined to comment on Contraband status, but that a source told the publication that The game had been in production for 5 years, but now was on hold. Since the report was published, Avalanche has now posted a statement confirming the game was on hold, stopping short of saying that it has been outright canceled. Over the past several years, Avalanche Studios Group and Xbox Games Game Studios Publishing have collaborated on Contraband, the statements read. Active development has now stopped while we evaluate the project's future. We're thankful for the excitement we've seen from the community since we announced, and we'll give an update on what's next as soon as we can. At the time of its initial review 4 years ago, Contraband director Omar Shakir called the open world title the studio's most ambitious and spectacular game to date. So, another hit for Microsoft's developing studios, and it sucks. It's another game. I heard about Contraband, but I didn't know too much about it. So, moving into the next story. I lost my article here. Sorry. This is an interview on VGC by Chris Scullion. How WWE 2K25's free story update gives new meaning to the previously unheard words of the late Bray Wyatt. VGC speaks to the game's senior narrative designer about the new Wyatt 6 story. When Bray Wyatt was released by WWE in the summer of 2021, the decision not only massively affected his own career, but the plans of those working on the WWE 2K22 video game. WWE 2K22's My Rise story mode was going to feature a subplot featuring Bray, but when he was let go by WWE, the story was removed to avoid making the game look outdated at release. It was a disappointing moment for Andrea Listenberger, a writer who had previously written storylines and promos for WWE's TV shows and had now joined WWE 2K developer Visual Concepts as a narrative designer. It's one of her first tasks on the WWE 2K series. Listenberg had worked on the Bray Wyatt storyline in WWE 2K22, and now that he was no longer at WWE, all of his audio recordings had to hit the cutting room floor. Bray's departure from WWE was a temporary one, and he returned in October 2022 to a hero's welcome, most notably thanking the fans for supporting him in a rare out-of-character promo shortly after his comeback. Now joined by a new masked character called Uncle Howdy, played by his real-life younger brother known to fans by his ring name, Bo Dallas. Bray, back on top and on WWE TV in February 2023, he challenged the winner of Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley to a match at WrestleMania 39. It was to be his last TV appearance. After this episode, Bray no longer appeared on the show, with reports suggesting he was dealing with a genuine non-storyline illness. On August 19th, it was reported that he was preparing to return again. He didn't. 5 days later, on August 24, 2023, Bray Wyatt, real name Wyndham Rotunda, passed away at the age of 36 after a COVID-19 infection exacerbated a previous heart condition. As with his previous WWE release, but obviously now on a much larger scale, the shockwave caused by Bray's passing caused tremors that affected other projects he was involved with. One of those was 2K2024, which was still in development when he passed. In a twist of fate, Bray's death led to his video game content being scrapped for the second time in a row, once again affecting the work of Andrea Listenberg. Berger. The plan had been to take the scrapped 2K22 storyline and incorporate it into the 2K24's My Rise mode instead, using some of the previously recorded audio and adding new material to freshen it up. It was actually something that we had talked about doing and were planning on doing in 2K24 when he was still alive, Lisenberg told me earlier today on a Zoom call. We were planning to repurposing some of the cutscenes that we had shot with some new additional voice content with Bray to kind of supplement it and to make it make sense with his character then. Ultimately, the plan was to be abandoned again when Bray Wyatt passed, and those audio clips recorded for 2K2022 went unheard again, seemingly for good this time. Until now. Last year, Bray's brother, Bo, and his Uncle Howdy character made a return in a new faction called the Wyatt Six. That's S-I-C-K-S. Much of his storyline was based on a split personality angle with vignettes showing Bo and his alter ego Howdy having conversations with each other, often talking about Bray's death. Last month, 2K25's Free Roam Story Mode, The Island, received an update which added an entirely new subquest based on the Wyatt Six by entering the Wyatt Cabin and fighting members of the faction in sequence. Players can unlock a number of videos. Some of these videos feature brand new vignettes of Bo and Howdy in conversation, but crucially, they also include footage of the unused Bray Wyatt character model and sound clips from 2K22, allowing fans to finally see and hear this lost media for the first time. Listenberger told me that when it was agreed that the island would be getting a Wyatt 6 storyline, she realized the unused footage was a perfect way to honor Bray's memory in a way that couldn't be done on regular WWE television. We were talking about maybe doing something with the Wyatt Six and the Island, she told me, and I was kicking around, you know, what kind of story are we going to tell with them? It literally could be anything. And when I was watching the Wyatt Six and the vignettes on TV, the promos with Bo and Howdy, the idea to use some of the unreleased Bray footage came to me. There was a very specific line in one of the promos about letting his memory become a mausoleum. And that really stuck with me. And you know, I thought about it, and I thought about it for a while. And I thought about, honestly, a lot of personal things that I've gone through in my life that, she paused. I mean, there's a reason that those particular vignettes resonated with people. They resonated with me. And that was kind of the genesis of for the idea of, well, what do we have that is kind of unique, and what do we have that only we have, and what can we do in our video game that they can't even do on programming that we could do? Something that's kind of unique and brings something a little special to the world. That's where the genesis for the idea came from, and I tiptoed up to Linnell Jinks, the creative director, one day. I was like, would you let us do this? This is a little out of the box, and we want to make it very clear that we're going to treat it respectfully, and we want to make sure this is not a shock value sort of thing. This is very much in line with how I think that they're representing the whole storyline, the whole Wyatt Six on television. And that's kind how it kind of all started, including the collaboration with the new footage with Bo and Uncle Howdy as well. The new footage in the typical blurry film, fourth wall breaking style of Howdy and Bo vignettes on TV have the characters discussing the release of the unseen footage in the game. This isn't real. This is just a game, Bo says in one clip. We play along as an escape to a world where loss doesn't triumph, where the pain and suffering of existence is eased for just a moment, where that which was left unfinished seems complete because it's not real. None of it is real. Bo also knows that he hoped the whispers were more than just an echo, but concedes that they're just remnants, incomplete, unfinished reminders of what will never be. A life left as abandoned as a video game cutscene on the cutting room floor. I asked Listenberger how much of the dialogue was written by her and how much was input from Bo. She explained that it was mostly a collaboration between 2K writers and WWE's own writers, ensuring that Bo was happy along the way. Our process kind of varies for a lot of different things, she explained. For this one, we worked with WWE Creative, as we always do with certain things, especially with video content. We wrote the script. We worked with their side, went back and forth, making sure there wasn't anything that he wanted to add. Made it very clear that, hey, you know, we're telling a story, but this is also your story. So we went back and forth with some of the language and everything. But, you know, I think that's what's really nice. What's kind of nice about this the story is that it's so universal. So there's things that are specific to Bo, but there's things that everyone can relate to. So some of it is just a little bit of part of that collaboration from WWE. There's some words from them, there's some words from us, and it's just this marriage of the best of both worlds. By far, the most important part of the new Wyatt 6 storyline is the final video, which is unlocked when you defeat Uncle Howdy himself. In a final chat between Bo and Howdy, the discussion ends with in a positive note, with Bo saying he'd like to stay in the game for a little longer because even an illusion can hold peace. And Howdy telling him, this is not your end. The work must continue. It's what he would have wanted. When you get to hear an audio-only clip of Bray during the WWE 2K recording session addressing the player as part of a mission, except now, thanks to his subsequent death, they take an entirely new meaning made clearer by footage of Bo's face added to the picture. This is no longer a message to the player. This is now a message to Bray's mourning brother. I have taught you well, little Firefly, says in the audio. I'm so proud of you. And you know what they say. If you love something so much that you want to squeeze it until it dies, do it if you have to, but try to let it go. Don't be sad. You'll always be my little Firefly, and I'll always watch out for you. You've done so much for me. And then his final line, goodbye for now. And it's an extremely emotional ending to what players initially think is just a cool way to hear some unreleased content. And according to many of the comments under various YouTube videos of the footage share online, numerous tears have been shed over that final message in particular. Some of those were mine. Bray Wyatt was my personal favorite, and the knowledge that this dialogue wasn't originally intended for this purpose doesn't make it any less poignant to hear. As it turns out, the message was meant more. It was also meant more to Listenberger. Not only did some of her abandoned work finally reach the public, it was work that had a deeper meaning to her, because when it was originally written, she had pulled it from real life experiences. There was something that felt a little full circle about it, she told me. And to be real, it wasn't so much about putting out stuff that didn't get seen. There was something very strange about, you know, the lines that ended up being the parts that we included, because there were multiple storylines in 2K22. I didn't write all of them, to be clear. There are other writers on the projects, and I want to be very clear that this is a team collaborative environment. I do not write everything. But the lines that really worked for this story, there were a number of them that I did write. And looking back and hearing some of those lines when I was reviewing the footage put me back in that space when I was writing them ahead of 2K22. And a lot of the story, without, you know, getting too much into it, it is kind of universal. And it was inspiring by some things that have happened in my life, because everyone can relate to personal loss. And how do you move forward while still honoring someone? Because that can be very, very hard. So seeing something that was done that I wrote in the past, when things were maybe a little bit more difficult for certain personal reasons, being used in the present for a story that's meant to kind of challenge people and push people, but then ultimately celebrate this idea, that felt some kind of closure. So I am a huge Bray Wyatt fan, and I was very, very, very sad, very upset on his passing. And that's why I wanted to share that story, because I've not played it, but I've seen the clips, and I too got emotional watching them. And it was unfortunate that he passed. He, again, it was just amazing watching the characters that he created, and, you know, not just the stories he told outside the ring, but inside the ring. And then to hear what an amazing person he was, you know, outside of the wrestling realm, outside of Bray Wyatt, but Wyndham Rotunda, the kind of person he was pretty amazing. So moving into some more wrestling theme news. I didn't talk about it last time, but we had SummerSlam coming up, and CM Punk was scheduled to go against Gunther for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And of course, you know me, I'm a huge Punk fan. I was very excited about this, and Punk won the belt, only for Seth Rollins to return from faking an injury to take the title from him with the Money in the Bank. And I was not happy about that. And then we had the following night, because it was a two-night event, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. And Cena came back to his original persona. We had another turn from the heel turn. And it was probably the best match from the retirement tour of John Cena. It was just everything about it. It was a street fight. It was just, you know, you were in the crowd. That shot when they're under the ring and he has John Cena has Cody on his shoulders for the AA coming up the elevator that Cody usually comes up on his in his entrance was amazing. I enjoyed the shows. Fortunately, I worked that weekend, and it was Evo weekend, so I didn't get to watch it all live, but I did watch a good portion of it live Sunday night. So it was pretty awesome. One thing that I will also address in the wrestling world is the passing of Hulk Hogan. As a wrestling fan, this news was something that a lot of people, you know, was telling me, oh, did you see? I want to quote a tweet concerning the passing of Hulk Hogan from one Khalif Adams on Twitter, because my feelings on Hulk Hogan are very mixed, and I feel like this is the best way to address it, and I felt this was very spot on. And it says, the Don't Speak Ill of the Dead crew is out in full force. Look, I believe in this thought as well. But I also believe that we continue to do ourselves a collective disservice by not 100% honest, not being 100% honest about who people are or were in this life. Hulk Hogan, I used to be a big fan of. I no longer am a fan of Hulk Hogan. I've got my own particular reasons why, for a number of different things that have come out about the man over the course of the last few years. And like I said, I used to be a huge fan, especially in the NWO days. There is no denying that Hulk Hogan is one of the reasons, if not the reason, why wrestling became so mainstream in that era and made what is today the WWE. And that's pretty much all I got on Hogan. So, We got a lot of games coming out in 2025. And I want to talk just games that I've seen. I saw a list that I on IGN of different games that are coming out between now and or that have come out in August all the way through to the end of this year. And I wanted to talk about my most anticipated games. But first, I'm going to go through this list that is not every game. I will preface by saying it is not every single game that is on this list, but it's just games that stood out to me that are coming out throughout the course of the year. Donkey Kong Bonanza is one that I want to mention because coming up in our next episode, I'm going to be talking about the Switch 2 as I, surprise, surprise, I have a Switch 2 now, and I did get a copy of Donkey Kong Bonanza, and I'm going to try it out. So I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. Another game on this list that came out this week, Mafia: The Old Country. I definitely want to try that one out. Gears of War Reloaded is coming in August 26th. Now, I didn't want to include too many games that are, you know, ports, but this was a big thing. This game is not only being released on Xbox, as it should, but also it's coming to the PlayStation, which is a pretty big thing. Moving into the next one is Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater coming out on August 28th. Another game that I included because it's a remake. And moving into the next one, Super Robot Wars Y. Now, this looks interesting. I think it's like a Fire Emblem kind of game with robots. Very interesting. Lost Soul Aside, August 29th. Shinobi Art of Vengeance, August 29th as well. Hell Is Us in September 4th. Chronos The New Dawn, September 4th. Daemon X Machina, Titanic Scion, which is a Nintendo Switch 2 exclusive, coming September 5th. Everybody's Golf Hot Shots is coming September 5th. Borderlands 4, September 12th. Dying Light, The Beast, September 19th. Silent Hill F, September 25th. Final Fantasy Tactics, The Evilise Chronicles, September 30th. Ghost of Yote coming to the PlayStation 5 August 2nd, Battlefield 6 October 10th, Pokemon Legends Za, as I like to call it, October 16th, Double Dragon Revive October 23rd, Ninja Gaiden 4 October 21st, Outer Worlds 2 October 29th, Mina the Hollower, we just talked about that a little bit ago, will be releasing October 31st. A game we've talked about on the show before, Terminator 2D No Fate, coming October 31st. Octopath Traveler Zero, December 4th. We took a look at that recently. Metroid Prime 4, 2025. A game we don't have a release date for. Another game we don't have a specific release date for yet, but we know it's coming in 2025. Hollow Knight Siltsong. Little Nightmares 3, also coming in 2025. Marvel Cosmic Invasion, coming in 2025. And Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection, coming on September 30th. So with that said, that's a long list, and there's plenty of other games on that list that I did not mention. But I wanted to talk about my top 10 most anticipated games for the rest of this year. Starting at number 10, Terminator 2D, No Fate. I'm a big Terminator fan. This game looks phenomenal. It hits all the right, you know, notes. The 2D aspect, side scroller, just all of it. The story looks awesome. You know, with the changes in the timeline, all of this just is it's very much my type of game. In ninth, Mina the Hollower. So we talked about this during that, I believe it was a showcase. Am I wrong? I might be wrong. But, you know, Mina the Hollower looked pretty awesome. It gave me some Link to the Past vibes. And I'm very much excited to try it out. it's coming to Switch. It was announced that it's coming to Switch, and I am probably going to get it on Switch. This is a very Switch game for me. Just portable, fun, just something awesome like this. It's something I enjoy having on my Switch. Moving on to Ninja Gaiden 4. I have to get through the others. We know we got Ninja Gaiden 2 Black recently coming out, but Ninja Gaiden, Year of the Ninja, we had Shinobi also as well coming out. We've had Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. We had Assassin's Creed Shadows, which kind of has a little ninja element to it. So a lot of ninja stuff. Moving on, The Outer Worlds 2. The Outer Worlds 2, I love the first one. And our developer, you know, is the ones that gave us Fallout New Vegas. And Obsidian has, it just always hits. I don't know why. It's the humor, the outlandishness of it all. I love the first game. I love Fallout New Vegas. I wish they would do a remake. I wish they would do a sequel of New Vegas as well. Seeing how they're working closely with Xbox, you know? Just saying. But Outer Worlds 2 looks amazing. The awesome news that we got that it's not going to be an $80 game also helped. Moving into our next one, Final Fantasy Tactics, The Evilise Chronicles. I only played a little bit of the original Final Fantasy Tactics, this rebuild of the original plus, you know, the enhanced version. Just, again, this is another game that I honestly want to get on the Switch because I feel this would be a good game to have on the Switch. Switch 2, I should say. You know, portable, the whole nine. So this is, you know, this is another game that I would love to have. And it's coming out on my birthday. So moving into Marvel Cosmic Invasion. Side-scroller, beat-em-ups, multiplayer, couch co-op, the whole nine. It's Marvel. It's everything I love. So this had to be on my top 10 list. Hopefully we'll get a release date soon. Maybe some more character reveals. You know, we got Silver Surfer recently, which I was pretty excited about. Samurais, always got to be on the list. Ghost of Yotei. Ghost of Tsushima was one of my favorite games of all time. And Yotei is looking so fire. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for Yotei to come out. That's going to be definitely a game we are going to have to put some time into. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, another game we still don't know when it's coming out, but we know it's coming out this year, coming for Switch 2 and Switch 1. I love Metroid. I love the Metroid Prime games, even though they're difficult for me. It's definitely a game I want to try out for sure. It's up there. I had to put it in third place just because of the unknown of when it's coming out and because of what my top two are. Even then, I would say I'm probably a little more excited than my number two pick for this game, but the uncertainty of when this game is coming out, if we're going to get delayed, which they said that we're not going to. I mean, this game has been in development for so long. It's been, when, you know, went through a whole, you know, kit and caboodle of, you know, development cycles and restarts and all that. So, number two, Silent Hill F. I love Silent Hill. Everyone knows I love Silent Hill. Silent Hill F. Looks creepy as hell, and I want to be scared for a little bit. That's right, you said it. I said it. It's gonna be creepy, and we're gonna get it day one because it's just what we do. Silent Hill 2. I loved Silent Hill 2. Konami giving Silent Hill its love is pretty awesome. I still would prefer Silent Hills, but we're not gonna get into that, especially because I have to talk about the next game. Konami once again getting me. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, coming out later this month, not even that long from now. I have a lot of games that I need to play right now. I will be sinking my full attention into this game until I finish it. It probably won't take that long because I have played the original so many times. It's going to be amazing to experience this game again. The love that this game has been getting from Konami is pretty awesome. A lot of different behind-the-scenes things that are coming out. And overall, just Snake Eater is my favorite Metal Gear Solid game. Metal Gear Solid is my favorite franchise of all time. And the fact that we're starting with this remake of Snake Eater, while keeping the story and all of that true to its original writer and director, Hideo Kojima, who we screwed, I'm still mad at you, Konami. I'm still mad at you. Let's fix this. Bring him back. I say all that to say, Death Stranding 2 is on my Game of the Year list. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is on my Game of the Year list. I have been playing more Expedition 33. I've gotten past Act 2. I'm sorry, Act 1. That hurt. That's all I'm going to say. That hurt. That really hurt. I was not expecting that, and that hurt. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I'm still very much in contention on which game it's going to... I'm still 1A, 1B, but it could, once I'm done with Expedition, I might change my mind. I loved Death Stranding 2. I'm a Hideo Kojima stan. We all know that. And if we're talking 1, 2, 3, I feel that for me this year, it's going to be Death Stranding 2 in first place. Clair Obscur in second place. That might flip-flop. And in third place is going to be Delta. I'm sorry. I'm there's a bias there, I understand. But those are going to be my games of the year. By far. That's it. My hopes is that this game does, Delta does so well that we're going to continue what seems to be a trend. We've done the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1, and we specifically named it Volume 1 with Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, 3, with including the Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 MSX versions, and I believe the NES version of Metal Gear as well, which is slightly different. Then we announced Delta. This game does well. I feel we're finally going to get the announcement of Volume 2. And Metal Gear Solid 4 will finally come out of its cell. That is PlayStation 3. It's the only game that's not been ported yet. And that's sad. And that will lead us to more Metal Gear remakes. I personally would love to see a remake of Metal Gear Solid 1. But before we go there, and maybe I'm just talking on my ass right now, go back to Metal Gear, the original MSX Metal Gear story, and make that into what Delta is now. Solid Snake's first mission, our first encounter with Big Boss, making the connection between 5 and 1, not to spoil anything, but 5 and Metal Gear. Bringing that connection together. Hopefully getting a remake of 2. Then getting Metal Gear Solid 1. I don't feel we need to touch Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3 simply because... Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 4. Because 2, I feel, has held up very well. Although, I felt 3 held up very well, and then we got a remake. So we might get that too. 4, I also feel that even though it's stuck on the PS3, once that gets pulled out of there with the next collection, is another game that I feel is going to do well without need of a remake. And then, of course, there's Peace Walker, another great game. that I feel could use a remake. Konami's throwing a lot of love at these games right now. I just hope that they can work with Kojima in the future. That's my wish that is never going to come true, and I know it's never going to come true, but, you know, we can be hopeful. We can be hopeful. With that, that is my top 10 most anticipated games for this year. As I said earlier, I have a Switch 2. Next episode, we're going to talk about it. We're going to do an unboxing, the whole nine. And we're going to play a little bit of different games that are on it. I got Cyberpunk 2077, and I got Donkey Kong Bonanza for the Switch, both Switch 2 versions. The Switch 2 came with Mario Kart World. We're going to take a look at that, too. So we're going to do a lot of that. So with that said, as always, thank you. Be good, or be good at it.